7:32, Wes McElroy, Fox Sports 910, and the new radio.com app downloaded today. Listen anytime, anywhere. Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Get back to our poll question. Also, we just put up the list of the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists. You can go check it out. I got my five on my ballot. You tell us who would be your five. See the full list, FoxSportsRichmond.com. It is a Wednesday. It is 7:30. That means we get the visit from our friend John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies. Tonight, Virginia Tech taking on UVA in hoops. We'll get to that coming up. John is brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys and staff, and there for you in any case. Before we look ahead to basketball, got to clean up a little football with you since this is the first time we've spoken since the Camping World Bowl. And I was commenting earlier, a lot of criticisms for Josh Jackson after that game. So I ask you, having some time to think about it, emotions calm down, looking ahead, Lays, one being Lee Shore, 10 being Mo Shore. Where are you with Josh Jackson and he being the guy moving forward with a year under his belt?
Yeah, I think I'd put that at a five right now, Wes, because I think that it's going to be a competition. I don't know if it's going to be an open competition like it's been the last couple of years where you had no idea who the incumbent was or who the starter was going to be. I think it's going to be his job to lose going into camp, but at the same time, it's not so much an indictment on Josh in terms of him losing that job, but I just think with what you have coming in terms of Hendon Hooker and Quincy Patterson, that you owe it to yourself as a program to make that a competition. And it's not because of criticism over one game or over the Camping World Bowl, and certainly he missed some throws in that game and obviously probably didn't have his best game, but at the same time, I just think that's going to be where this program is. You want active competition in every room, particularly the quarterback room, and I think that's going to be the case going into the spring and on into the summer. So I think right now, at a five.
Okay. Maybe you've talked to Justin Fuente about this. Maybe it's your own personal assessment. The biggest area for Josh Jackson to improve is where?
Yeah, I think that's the problem with Josh Jackson potentially going forward is I think he played really well from a mental perspective this season in terms of valuing the football and reading through this offense. Unfortunately, it's the areas where physically he lacks in terms of not necessarily being a Jerod Evans type or being even a Hendon Hooker type with the bigger arm and maybe a little bit faster, because that's where you saw him, I think, trying to overcompensate on deep balls and things of that such this year. So, you know, it's not necessarily areas where I think that he can improve all that much. You know, I think in the areas where he can excel, he already has, and he already played you to a winning level in a lot of ways. So, if you are going to talk about what he can work on, it's getting rid of the football quicker, I think, and more accurately, particularly in the intermediate throws, which was an area I felt like he regressed a little bit as the season went along. You know, again, back to what I was saying before, you'd love to see him be able to throw the deep ball better, but you just don't know if that's something that's in his tool of talent, so to speak. And that's what we'll be monitoring, I think, going forward.
He's John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates. Give me an area or player that's already got you excited for next year.
Yeah, I'm excited about Trey Turner, but I'm also excited about Caleb Farley and Damon Hazleton, the two receivers that one you expected to have in Farley this year and the other that you knew you wouldn't have in terms of transferring. I'm looking forward to watching this offense hum a little bit more next year in terms of who you have on the perimeter. And those two guys are a big part of that. Turner, of course, the four-star commit coming in out of North Carolina, and Hazleton, the transfer from Ball State that wasn't eligible this year, and Farley, a guy who unfortunately got hurt in the first practice of fall camp. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to just this offense as a whole, but the reason for that is some of those wide receivers that you didn't have at your disposal this year.
You said it to sign off the bowl game. You said to Mike Burnup, you still feel that you have not seen this offense run, even at a level close to what Justin Fuente wants to run it or how he wants to run it. Give me the image that's in your mind when you foresee what this offense could be.
Well, you watched Oklahoma State, buddy, and that's exactly what he wants it to be.
Yeah?
Yeah, that fast with that many options, that balanced in terms of running and throwing the football. Having that many different wide receivers in terms of guys that can contribute. And, I stand by that. I know that from talking to him and talking to Brad. You know, last year they dealt with having some very talented personnel, but not necessarily personnel that they would recruit to their system in terms of the length on the outside and Bucky and Isaiah and guys that you could just kind of chuck it up to and go win 50-50 balls. What they ideally want to have, and they probably won't even next year, but I think you're going to see steps in that direction. But over the next couple of years is having 7, 8, 9 receiving options that you can almost cycle in fluidly, balancing that out with a running game that also features maybe a bigger and a smaller back and a quarterback that can distribute the football to all those different places. And, they've still got work to do in terms of their recruiting classes, but at the same time, they've only had 2 recruiting classes here at Virginia Tech, 2 full ones. So, and it's not also personnel. It's not all personnel. It's also in the scheme and style and speed in which they'd like to do it. So it's definitely a work in progress, which is exciting because they've had success and won 19 games without necessarily having all those pieces in place.
John Lazer joining us. You can find him on Twitter at LazVT. You can find him tonight, 9 o'clock, calling Virginia Tech and UVA. Let's transition to hoops, where the game's in Blacksburg, and of course, everyone's favorite, a 9 o'clock tip. Going back to how the Hokies started this thing off in the ACC, 0-1, bad shooting, turnovers, Syracuse zone got Virginia Tech on Sunday. Now you get UVA, the pack line, another defense that can frustrate a team. After seeing them in the first game of conference play, what are you focused in on game number 2?
Yeah, it's interesting because you come off that game against Syracuse, and I think everybody had their concerns about the offense. And, you know, obviously that's the storyline that the Syracuse zone stifled the Hokies. And you certainly do have to give Syracuse a lot of credit. But I also think some of that rests on the shoulders of Virginia Tech offensively in terms of what they weren't able to adjust to in that game and get to the basket. And, you know, you saw a team that for the second or maybe even third time this year, probably second, I think St. Louis was the only other time, when their shots weren't falling and they were getting muscled a little bit off the three-point arc, they weren't able to react by getting into the paint with Kerry Blackshear in foul trouble and just didn't have that slashing mentality. So I think the Hokies carry some responsibility out of that game offensively. So I don't necessarily worry as much about the pack line D. I'm not saying that I'm not worried about it, but I'm not as worried about the Hokies not responding well offensively tonight. I think they will. I think they'll play better. I think they'll be able to challenge a more man-to-man philosophical D tonight at home. I think on the other end, though, for Virginia Tech, what always gets lost with that leading the nation defensively for Virginia is how offensively efficient they are and how they can carve you up, particularly late in the shot clock. And that's where we've seen the Hokies get accelerated, particularly at John Paul Jones Arena the last couple of years. So I want to see the Hokies be able to make some defensive stops and speed up Virginia, which is something even in their wins at home the last couple of years they haven't necessarily been able to do. And I'm interested to see if this team can do that. There's a number of other little things in terms of just playing a little more to your personnel and being able to do that consistently with Kerry Blackshear on the floor that you're going to need to have happen not only tonight but also going forward. So there were a number of things, unfortunately, Wes. It's not really the place you want to be coming out of your first ACC contest because you'd like to, you know, ramp up through the non-conference portion and just be humming when you hit conference play. And unfortunately, that Syracuse game showed us that Virginia Tech wasn't necessarily in that place. The positive to that, though, is that this team has shown, kind of as a reflection of their head coach, that they can ramp it back up quickly sometimes and they can run a little hot and cold. So I'm excited for tonight. It's going to be a fun one tonight. I hate that this game is played when the students aren't here. I wish that they could do something about that, and actually they probably can on the ACC schedule. Listen to me starting to sound like our head coach, but it's still going to be a great environment nonetheless.
It's tonight, 9 o'clock. You can check it out on 96.1 FM on News Radio 1140 WRVA. John Lazer, Mike Burnup on the call. Save those pipes, and we'll talk again next Wednesday, buddy. Have a great one.
Sounds good, my friend. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. John Lazer joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff and there for you in any case.